Betsy Ann Thomas here. We are the Voices of America.
Well, it's the vaccine wars, and you know how upset I get about this, because this has taken conventional warfare to the next level. It has made it look like the war of all against all, because it's the doctors that we supposedly trust with our health telling us that we need to inject things into our bloodstream that are going to, in fact, be miracle drugs that are going to heal us. Well, if anyone can name any of those, please do so. The vaccinations that are given out right now are usually for illnesses that do not really harm anyone. The childhood illnesses that we all had that there's now vaccines for. I got chicken pox. And I just want to point out that anytime you have an enterovirus, okay, let's just take you and I, chicken pox. When they gave us shots when we were young, what happened? Well, actually, they didn't give us shots. We got chicken pox, and then it went into your body and it stays there because it's an enterovirus. It never leaves. So every time you put an enterovirus into your body, and that would be measles, mumps, rubella, anything practically, polio, practically, all the things they're giving the children, they're 81 shots right now. 81 shots you have to have as a child so that you can be an American if you want to go to school. So in those shots are live viruses, lots of enteroviruses. And those enteroviruses go in you and they never leave. So if you go and look at the effectiveness of vaccines to completely be pervasive in all states through education, it drove a lot of people into homeschool in the old days. I think a lot of people will choose homeschool, but right now they're saying that even when you're homeschooling or when you're online, when the vaccine comes, your child's going to have the vaccine to even be in any school. If you're going to be enrolled in a school, online or otherwise, you're going to have the vaccine.
Well, let's not get carried away, because we don't see that same language with homeschooling, and we can only speak for Michigan and the limited states we've looked at. But yes, we are seeing here in Michigan that if you wanted to use their curriculum, the public school curriculum, in the homeschool setting, you're going to have to give your immunization records, and you know where that's going. And it's frankly none of their business what you're doing in your home. But what we're really seeing is that it's been right in front of us. These big warehouses for children have been nothing but vaccination and indoctrination centers. This is why we see the young people today clueless as what to do. They haven't been properly educated. They are not in touch with their soul forces, and they're just out of control.
Some great spiritual thinkers have said that in our time, there would be shots given to people, and after they were given the shots, they wouldn't be able to think. Well, that's what's going on. We have the World Health Organization through the United Nations and its leader Tedros saying to New Zealand and Australia, you're doing a great job because you're following the communist, totalitarian, aggressive, murderous, genocidal model of how to handle COVID-19. And they say that New Zealand and Australia are doing a great job. Well, they locked people down seriously in China because of course, their program called Dragonfly and their social credit system developed for them by, of course, Google and Eric Schmidt and Facebook. Their system is so pervasive that they can take people's temperature when they're walking down the street. And then they have police in China who will go and arrest the person for being outside. And if they have any kind of association with COVID and then they have a fever, well, then they're going to be interned. They're going to be locked up. And then we have seen hundreds of thousands of people be taken off the streets in China and not returned. And they're not allowed to speak about it either.
But go back. They can take your temperature at a distance. I mean, come on. Who's to say that the number they're reading is anything to do with your temperature? In fact, who even says they even have a temperature gun? Let's just get to the point. They can take you off the street and imprison you. And this is genocide. We're talking about global genocide, and people are simply not awake of what's happening. And it's like, if we cannot wake up enough people, we're all going to fall in. And I hearken back to the movies where they would have slave ships and they'd have the slaves all in chains. And all it took was throwing one or two. And then everyone in that chain fell in the water And that's what's happening. If everybody's wearing the face mask and we're all living in that fear, then eventually everyone will. And then the next step is a vaccination. And it's happening. And the lockups, it's happening.
It's happening, folks. We're trying to tell you that you're going to have to face this. And we told you from the beginning that this is where it was going. This is a war. These people aren't after your health. They're after your death. They're after your illness, because illness is big business, number one industry in America. And now, as soon as they get, does anyone even know how many billions went out for the vaccine development? 1.5 billion went to Moderna, and many Pfizer and others got 1.5 billion. 168 vaccines are being worked on right now. That's a lie. What they're working on is the coronavirus vaccine. They've been working on that forever, and no one can get close to creating a vaccine for the common cold or flu. That's what a coronavirus is. That's what COVID-19 is being told to us is, which it is not. It is a synthetic virus, man-made. That's a fact. In the P4 labs, not only in Wuhan, but also in Canada, and in Britain, and we've named who has the patent on it and the whole thing. But the point is, I just wanted to give an update because it's getting worse by the second. In New Zealand, they have taken up the Chinese methodologies. They go to the home. You answer the door. They have the police with them. You must let them do a temperature and check everyone in the house. And if somebody's got a fever, let's say a child in a house of four, two children, two married adults, the child has the fever. Well, they say, well, you can't quarantine the child properly. We're taking your child from you. This is happening right now. We already had the queen come out and say, well, you know, during the war, I was separated from my family. And so it's okay. Get ready, Brits, because we're going to separate your children from your family. We're going to separate the old, because why? This, they didn't mean for it to be, but as an unintended consequence, this COVID-19 became an elderly killer. It just happens to kill the elderly, but that's also how they sneak in. And I'm going to talk about that, all the fake numbers on how many people have died, how many people have had it. And when you hear this, it's still not going to help to know the truth on this, because the vaccine laws right now in all the states might as well be in Nazi Germany or in Russia under Stalin or under President Xi in China right now, or underneath their crazy prime minister in New Zealand, who literally is locking people up because they have a fever, taking them from their families. They may never see them again because, of course, they're contagious, supposedly. So you're not even going to see. They could take them away and you'd never see your child again. That's happening right now. It's happening in Australia. They have checkpoints in Australia. You're driving down the street. They pull you over. They have used bodily force. They've used deadly force in some of these countries. And right now, these same laws are being passed by crazy people at the county level and considered to be in some states. They already have laws just like this. They can come in and take your child, and then they say, you don't have the capacity to take him for 2 weeks into quarantine, so we will. Against your will, your child can be taken, and if you open the door to them, according to the pandemic laws, they can literally do anything they want. They can seize your house and say that it's contaminated because everyone in it had COVID. They can take your bank account. I'm not exaggerating. The pandemic laws, along with the 13 executive orders that were bundled together by Obama, which would have given Hillary Clinton, had she been elected in 2016, complete absolute martial law without declaring martial law. And that's what this is. The pandemic is pharmaceutical martial law. It's medical martial law. And when you look at who's in charge, there's only a few people in America even know who it was that has the power to call a pandemic, and no one in America can explain to me, because it's not in the law, how you end a pandemic. When can Trump say, wait a second, the numbers are fake, the testing is fake, we have treatments that cure it in the early stage, middle stage, and late stage, which I'll talk about in a minute, The vaccine, who cares about the vaccine? There's never been a vaccine that worked on anything anyway. So why do we care about a vaccine? What is this insanity of putting biochips in everyone so that you can keep track of their immunizations? Immunizations, in some cases, have what are called contraindications. They kill people. Now, how do you know it's a contraindication? Because with the only thing that the medical industry is allowed to allow you to declare as a contraindication is if within 24 hours of getting a shot, your child has some severe reaction. And I mean, it has to be very, very severe. Having a cold-like symptoms, flu-like symptoms, runny nose, eyes running, all that, nothing, fever. No, they don't care about that. The child is going to have to become, go into horrible seizures and so on and so forth. Otherwise, they don't allow you to not take a vaccine because of contraindications in this state and in many other states. By the way, I speak from having taken care at the top levels at the state level for vaccinations for children, tens of thousands of children. So I speak from direct experience. So this war that's going on, what's the mask going to do? Now, here's my prediction for you, and be ready. Be ready when it happens. You need now to get your medical exemption if you're going to fight this, and or your religious exemption. And if it's a child in a school, that religious exemption may not relate to a vaccine given during a pandemic. So we have to change the pandemic laws. But besides that, be ready for the following. The masks, they knew from the beginning. Okay, I just want to make this perfectly clear to you. Have you seen a single doctor come out and say that wearing a mask is effective for what they say it is or for anything? You will not find one single doctor. The science on it is absolutely all 100% in agreement that wearing a mask, especially a cloth mask, is very harmful to you. The CO2 retention, the lack of oxygen, what do you get? You get hypoxia or hypoxemia. What is that? The lack of oxygen. What is COVID-19 being treated as now? The lack of oxygen, cellular oxygen, because of cytoplasmic storms that kick out exosomes from the cell, which they're going to tell you are viral replications of the virus itself, which is complete nonsense. That's not what's going on. The whole theory, it doesn't hold up, let alone in relationship to this type of man-made virus. So in the future, as soon as the first snap of cold comes off in the temperate climates here in America and the influenza season starts in, the masks will create massive influenza. That's just a fact. Why? Because they hold bacteria and viruses, if you believe in viruses. Let's just say you believe in viruses. So if there's COVID out there and it landed on the outside of your mask, it's going to stay there until it gets moist and then you're going to breathe it in. It collects COVID, if anything. It does not in any way help you. Spreading it. I mean, certainly, if someone has a fever and a sore throat and they have symptoms, whether it be a flu, cold, or COVID-19, supposedly, and they're coughing on people, well, then they're stupid and they should be hit in the head with something. Because why? You just don't do that. You don't do that for flu. You don't do that with a cold. You don't do that for anything. You do not expose yourself when you know that you are infectious, period. Now, we're not infectious, so why are we wearing masks? And have you encountered anyone who said to you that they have been symptomatic for COVID-19 and have been hospitalized and recovered, and now they're in the public at your restaurant eating next to you, and they're telling you their story? Well, you won't find anyone like that. You will find people who in early March, January, February, and March got what they believed was COVID, and it probably was, because the first waves of aerosol infection come very quickly because they come through airplanes. Now, I was just talking with an expert in these things because he runs a clinic, and we were talking about COVID, and he says that the airlines have come out and said that you can't get a virus on an airplane. The air is so beautifully recirculated and it's so fresh that you can't possibly breathe in somebody else's. Well, why do you think they're so freaked out that they will throw people off permanently if they don't wear a mask for 1 second? Because the worst place to get this is on airplanes. It started on airplanes in China, but the Chinese didn't let the people from the military games in Wuhan, the international military games, they didn't let the Chinese fly to their own cities in China after that. Well, they let everybody else fly to all their countries, and then in all those countries it started, but they did not let the participants, the Chinese participants of the Wuhan military international games, they did not let them fly to their cities, did they? Isn't that amazing? As a matter of fact, they started separating those people out because the illness of COVID-19 went through the people who were participating in that, and that was in October. So the Chinese knew that it had already been disseminated in China once at the International Military Games and twice in Wuhan again at two giant celebrations. This is, we know this because instantaneously thereafter, people were, by the Chinese, who are good totalitarian communists, locked up, quarantined. You can't even believe what they did to these people. They put them in like a ghetto and they wrote on the building, medical emergency. The people couldn't leave. They had their food brought to them. This was in October, okay? And in early November. So don't tell me the Chinese didn't know. I don't. The Chinese were experimenting with these things. They're the experts at creating these things, especially synthetic viruses concerning
Yeah, but how come we're not talking about the British involvement with coronavirus? I mean, the media will only look at China, and of course not, they're not going to look at the fact, the proven evidence that the coronavirus was patented right there at Pirbright Institute, and the Queen has controlling shares of Pirbright. Crickets. No, I don't hear
that's
anything.
Right. And no one will even go there. So, sorry, it's not a conspiracy theory. The British, what you call them, oligarchy, the members of the secret chamber, cabinet members of the Queen's Privy Council, who own Pirbright and Muriel Animal Institute, and do work in the P4 labs all over the world. But where do they go when they want to do their most dangerous work? They set their offices up in China. Oh, that's right. Bubonic plague has started in China. Mm-hmm. And they had a few cases. And now it seems like they're insinuating that it's going to go crazy in China. And then what do we have? Oh, it's in California. So somehow that little flea came all over here with bubonic plague and it's attacking people. No, they take the virus from the flea just like they took the virus from the bats. Why? I've explained this before. I'll explain it again. It's rather complicated. No, animal viruses are dormant. They overcame them millions of years ago. But if you take them, mix them with human, and then splice them into the DNA, you create a synthetic virus. And it's spliced into human DNA. And so Betsy and her team have just revealed that there's a scientist who's showing us some of the, what is it they call it? The sequencing of the genomes, the decoding of the genomes, the decoding of the DNA for COVID-19. And it seems that it's missing a very important part that the humans need to help them think. And if it's not there, then they get horrible illnesses like cancer.
But wait a minute, let's stop there, because for our friends who are students of Rudolf Steiner, Rudolf Steiner talked about this type of vaccination.
Oh yes, and he talked about the fake germ theory, and he talked about the way that we think that bacteria is the thing that's killing us, bacteria and what we call viruses today. And he says, that's not true. It's the health of the cell. And the cell will kick out things that look like bacteria and viruses if it's ill. So what's causing the illness? You got to go towards the cause, not the symptom.
No, but there would be a shot that people would be given that would basically make them stupid.
Oh, he said that.
That's what I'm talking about. And when you would read that and you go, I mean, this would be years ago. You read that and go, yes. What? And now we see, oh my gosh, they're targeting the chromosome 8, and I'm not going to talk about it because I'm not a scientist. I've got plenty of material on the Cat Report. And that is a chromosome that affects intelligence. So it looks like they want to, maybe they want to find out who the smart people are. Or maybe they want to destroy our intelligence.
Oh, that's no.
You
that's
never know with mad
scientists.
There's
not one single justification for fluoride in water, except for the people who are the hegemonists, the people who want world control, who I like Eustace Mullen's phrase, they're parasites. These parasites, because they had so much fluoride in this one town, they made up the lie that the fluoride in their water caused their teeth to be good. And so they put fluoride in everybody's water, knowing the only thing it really does is completely mess up your arteries and your vascular system and calcifies your pineal gland. Rudolf Steiner talked about that. He also talked about these shots. You can get a shot and as a child, and it'll make you sharp and an adult. And the features of your face will actually no longer be the features of a child. It'll be a it'll be an adult. So you'll be a young adult who has the cleverness of an adult, but no ability to think. In other words, what he calls an automaton.
Oh, that's what I meant by being stupid, because you would not have, it diminishes what it is unique about being human, and that is your ego. And so what you become almost is what they want to devolve us to is like being an animal, being a human animal. So you still have your astral body, your etheric and your physical body, but you don't have the capacity to think as a human. So you're truly an animal to them. This is, oh, and as an animal, of course, then it's perfectly okay to harvest you in any way they need. You know, it's so funny is because we're doing this research on Henry Kissinger, who's ancient. And then who was it? George Shultz. Somebody says, well, is he still alive? And sure enough, he is. I mean, these old globalists, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, you know, living at 100 plus, all of them. And now we find out about what they're doing to the horrific things to children and to our unborn. They are harvesting human beings. And they've got to shut down our capacity for thinking in order to keep control over us.
They would like us to be, just as you say, animals in a pen. But what we're supposed to do is just consume exactly what they tell us to consume. And then we are supposed to get sick so that then we can spend all of our money, what money we have, that they don't take in taxes and all the evil machinations of economic control in the prison planet Earth. Then the rest has to be spent on medicine and medicine for illnesses that they gave you. And so for the same people who harvest baby blood and the queen who stays, you know, really is the queen? Look at these people. Look how old they live to be. The rest of us don't live to be that old, now do we? So how is it that they do that? They're the same people. And these are, they're British imperialists and oligarchs, but they learned it from the Vatican, and they learned it from Italian bankers, and they learned it from the people who get so much money that then they sit back and they say, how can we get rid of humans and how can we control them? Because we have to keep our control of our assets, and we can't let anybody question it. And then, of course, they have to have the propaganda and the lies, and that's what they're so good at. They've convinced people. It's really shocking, but of course, there's no resistance. You can't have resistance. It's like the Borg cube. Resistance is futile. You will get vaccinations for your child, or you'll have to be like me, very, very, very experienced in education to be able to know how to not get your child vaccinated. But at any one point, my children may be grabbed up and given all their shots at once because they're in violation of some new law.
Well, the thing that we have to do is we have to vote all red in November. And even if you have to hold your nose and vote for people like Liz Cheney or Lindsey Graham. And the reason is we want to hold the position. So we've got to hold that red position. Now, after November 3rd, we'll be in a better position to arrest Lindsey Graham, because we know what he's done. He knows what he's done, and it'll all come out. But we don't want to lose his position as a senator. And then wherever these senators or representatives would be arrested or have to leave office, then we could replace them with a MAGA red. So folks, all red, no matter who it is, hold the position on the board.
Absolutely. It's the only way that we can continue to transform things as Trump has done so far. And right now he's got the pharmaceuticals on the run. Big Pharma is on the run. He just recently declared that America, and this is unbelievable, but it shows the globalism, the internationalism, transnationalism that rules the pharmaceutical companies, that rules everything. When it comes down to it, even soldiers going to war have to get their shots, don't they? That's pharmaceutical. Many of those soldiers can get extraordinarily ill for the rest of their life because of those shots, just like the rest of us. Oh, I should go back to that, and then I'll go to the numbers. So when it comes down to it, we've all been given shots. So when you get the flu shot, last year, between 80 to 90,000 people died during flu season of influenza, flu, okay? 65% of them had had the flu shot. Now, anybody who can't follow that math can't follow the next things we're going to say. So when you go get the flu shot, you're given a live flu virus. And now I guess there's multiple ones, and I'll tell you something about Italy in a second. You get a live virus, okay? And then the theory is that you are supposed to overcome that, and then your immune system is strong enough. Well, your immune system atrophied at age 12 when your thymus basically atrophied to the point it can't even be found. And that thymus produces the white blood cells that combat those things. So when it comes down to it, these assaults on children, the only reason they survive is because their immune system is so strong, their thymus and their immune system. So these assaults, let's look at the numbers in a second. I want to say one more thing, and that's that there was a doctor in Italy who said he was sick of this. He knew that it wasn't true. And he pointed out that the reason that so many people died in Italy, and most many of them were older people, right, was because that year the government had insisted that everybody get the flu shot. So everybody in Italy had to get the flu shot last year. So this doctor was saying that's the reason that most of these people died of the flu, because the flu shot they gave wasn't a flu shot, which standardly, I don't know, I'd have to look into the recent flu shots in America, which they're now giving out for free, mark my words. Flu shots are free now in America. So the flu shots were free in Italy, and those flu shots, he said, had 4 and 5 strands of flu in it. Generally, they choose a really strong strand from a few years before that is similar to what might be coming down the tubes for that influenza year, that year. But in this case, they took a bunch of them, 4 or 5, I believe it was, put it into one shot, gave it to everybody for free, and made sure everybody got the shot in Italy, and that's why Italy had more deaths than anybody else. So he, as a doctor, went and he checked with the coroner, and he checked, I think it was 2,500 people, and none of them who was marked COVID, died of COVID? Nope, none of them. As a matter of fact, he couldn't find anyone who died of COVID-19. Because to find out if they died of COVID-19, you'd have to do a DNA test. That test is $1,500. So when they tell you that millions of people, that there's an outbreak, that there's cases of it, no, those are tests, bad tests. Almost all the tests are bad. Only one test has about a 50% chance of telling you, and that's a test of the DNA, the very things we're talking about. You have to go in and look at the DNA. That costs a lot of money. Nobody's getting that. Nobody. Not even the 75, NBA stars and the football stars and hockey stars. They all just found out, 75 false positives. Well, they're using the best test that they can get for the money that they put down. That's much better than what the common person is getting when they get the test stuffed up their nose. And if it came from the CDC, if that swab came from the CDC admitted that they sent out millions of tests that the swab had COVID-19 on it. So, of course, it's going to come back positive. And, of course, it spread COVID-19 to everyone they gave the test to. But anyway, the numbers. Look in Hawaii. Okay, Hawaii didn't have any cases. They told everybody, you can't come to Hawaii. And they told the Hawaiians, don't leave. And if you do, then when you come back, we're going to give you a heck of a hard time. They had very, very, very few cases. And then what happened? And then the medical industry in Hawaii woke up, because they're really slow at catching on things. I lived there for 5 years. It took them all this time to wake up to what we told you. If you report someone had it, you get money. If you report someone it was symptomatic, you get more money. If you report someone went to the hospital with it, you get more money. And if they died of it, you get, I think, $36,000. You get $1,300 for just reporting it to the CDC, no matter what you report. So Hawaii, all of a sudden, everybody had COVID overnight. And now they have the worst case per capita of anybody anywhere. Why? Because the Hawaiian system is just that way. It's so corrupt, but it takes forever for them to get on board. So here you got the numbers in Hawaii going from next to nothing to being the biggest. Why? Because the COVID money is what they're after. And that's where so many of these numbers come from. They mix the flu and the pneumonia numbers.
A friend of ours whose sister died and it was COVID related, but the point is that she was withheld the medication that could have saved her life. And what was really hard for the family members, some of the family members, is that, now that they're woke, they saw that it was politics that killed their sister. You know, see, this is a casualty of a war.
Absolutely. Now, she was a brave, brave, brave nurse, worked in the ICU and all that stuff. So she had all kinds of things. It wasn't just COVID. She had all kinds of things.
And I just want to end it. But the point is, of all that, they would not give her what she needed to overcome the COVID. So there is a financial agenda going on with the hospitals because they're going to get more money. There's a political agenda. But in the meantime, citizens in America are dying because they're not getting the drugs that they need. And let's talk about that ivermectin that you were discussing today.
The person you mentioned could not get hydroxychloroquine. The hospital wouldn't allow it. So there are all kinds of crazy people who aren't even doctors. Like, how about Governor Whitless Moore, Governor Whitmore of Michigan? She is a complete Nazi, and she's making decisions that only a doctor can make. Fauci, Bill Gates making decisions that doctors should make. So there's, if in the beginning stages, like Trump took hydroxychloroquine and zinc as a preventative. That's the malaria drug. Well, it works up front. Of course it would. If it can kill malaria, it can kill practically anything, but it is not going to help much in the mid or late terms. And that's the reason the FDA recently took away its EUA, its authorization for use in an emergency case.
You'll have to excuse me for a minute, but I forgot to take my coronavirus cocktail today. We're taking it at least once a day and joining AIMCATS everywhere around the world. What it is a zinc. You take your favorite zinc with a couple of swigs of Fever Tree Premium Tonic Water. And this is not a plug for a commercial, but you did the research, Douglas, and you found out of all the quinine waters out there, Fever Tree is the best, and you can buy it at the grocery store.
Quinine has always been used to stop influenza, except in America, where they've now outlawed it when they found that many countries all over the world are stopping it in its early stages by this treatment that costs next to nothing, $12, I think it is, for the bottle. And then this new one, ivermectin, it is 12 cents a pill. And the people in Australia, the doctors using it down there, it's a drug used for scabies and lice. It's been around FDA approved since 2010. But is anyone talking about that? Well, in Australia, they've healed every single case that has come to them within 48 hours with simply using ivermectin with zinc. And one other thing, which is simply another antibiotic like Z-Pak. So the deal is they have treatments. And they're not cures, they're treatments. And no vaccine is a cure. You can't name a vaccine that works. For instance, let me give you an example. Remember when the German measles broke out and everyone freaked out in America saying that it was the homeschooled children who weren't getting their shots? And it broke out in Disneyland or World or whichever one it was. And then they checked, and a few weeks later, they found that 65% of the people had the immunization, the vaccine for German measles. Okay, 65% is a big number. Basically, the placebo effect is much more effective than that. So when 65% of the people simply had it because why they were given it through the vaccine, through the shot, they spread it to the other people. So if you want to talk about a danger, it isn't the danger of the unvaccinated people having it, because let's say they had the illness. Well, the person with the vaccine isn't going to get it, theoretically, because they have the vaccine. The logic of this is so stupid. I've never, ever had a debate with anybody about vaccines where they could stand their ground. Never.
But that is the definition of a false flag operation. Again, for those who don't understand, false flag operations do not mean that people don't get killed. But one of the, and you did the study on this. This is the study out in the internet about false flag agendas and what's going on and how to perception management and how to spot it. And one of the key features is that there are many narratives. They don't have to agree with each other, but that's to keep everybody in a state of confusion. And I'm telling you, this whole coronavirus thing is a state of confusion.
The World Health Organization, this is how bad their depopulation genocided agenda is. They recently stated that their recommendation was that all infants wear a mask for the next 2 years. In other words, kill the infants, because why? COVID-19 killed old people, but it didn't kill the infants. As a matter of fact, there's not been one single case of an infant passing it to an adult, not one that we know of in the whole world. So going to school is not going to get anybody sick unless somebody had a premorbidity situation like diabetes or heart disease or something, whatever, or pneumonia. Or once you get pneumonia, yeah, you're going to get, they're going to say you have coronavirus, because hello, pneumonia is a massive corona. Well, it's worse than a coronavirus, and it always pulls in everything else. So don't believe the numbers. They're fake. The real numbers are probably like the Italian doctor found. Nobody died of COVID-19. They died because COVID-19 attacked them, perhaps, and whatever weakness they had is what then killed them. And that's what he's finding. In every single case, there was a premorbidity situation where the person literally had something that could have killed them otherwise.
All right, now we can go to the swamp. Okay, I know you could have talked 2 hours on this subject, but I want to talk about Barr and Durham and Brennan and what's going on over there. So Durham came over, apparently. Now, we don't really know if this is true, because it comes out of Sarah Carter, which is, you know, she's a crown propagandist. And so you've got her reporting that Nick Shapiro, who is a Brennan spokesperson, said this. So it's so far removed from truth, it's anyone's guess. So that's why I turned to you to ask you, is it true or not?
Well, I think we made fun of Brennan and his spokesperson the other day, yesterday, because it's absolutely absurd. Brennan comes out and says, shame on you, Durham. You allow leaks from the investigation, and therefore it's invalid. And by the way, I was told directly that I'm not being investigated, and I was only there for all that time for them to ask me some incidental questions about some incidental thing that really doesn't matter. Okay, well, the only leak that has come out of the Durham investigation is the one you just gave, Mr. Brennan, through your spokesperson who used to work for you, who, that's how sick and demented you are and how sick and demented the system is. You still use the government to defend your crimes. You're disgusting.
Hey, but I want to know is if Sarah Carter had to give the Ali Watkins treatment to Brennan and Shapiro to be able to post that hot article.
Ooh, no.
Ali Watkins apparently was giving blowjobs for fake news. She didn't know she was being given fake news. So, you know, who's the loser in that situation? And then James Baker, where's he doing? He's walking free now.
In House of Cards, that disgusting actor who played the president, remember him? He had his leak and he was having sex with her. That was Ali Watkins. Okay, that's who that person was supposed to be representing. And yes, Ali Watkins admits that she was a prostitute. And not just for James Wolfe, but everybody, I guess, because she almost got a Pulitzer Prize for being able to do the research. Let us call it the undercover research, undercover as in sheets, that, you know, got her that information. She still has a copy, which the SWAT team should attack her house right now and get the copy that she has, the illegal copy of the FISA court warrant application, which we, the people, have not even seen and is still being guarded. And only one person is going to jail for 6 months, Kevin Kleinstein, for the fake FISA warrants.
Smith, Kleinsmith.
Smith, what did I call him? Steen? Yeah.
Kleinsmith. And so that's where we really find out that Bill Barr is a traitor. And for people around the world who listen to us, our attorney general, who followed another traitor, Jeff Sessions, is turning out to be one. We were always being willing to watch him do the right thing, but he has not done that. He is a senior executive service operative. So it really isn't surprising that he's protecting the swamp now. And they really think that folks out here will believe that this Kleinsmith pickup is huge. It's not.
Let's remember Barr and Mueller sit together in the pew at the back of the church and do nothing except snore through the eulogy. These guys are there to cover their own tracks, their own trail. Mueller said he wasn't even looking at Christopher Steele's document or never talked to anybody from Fusion GPS. And Brennan says that Aldenburg Durham investigation, I'm making fun of Sundance, the investigation, that's all they found, and they told Brennan, is Kleinsmith, and then they told Brennan, don't worry, we're not investigating you. That's what they told Hillary. She wasn't even a person of interest in the midterm exam conducted by James Comey. She was never actually interrogated. That's the reason nothing was recorded, nothing was written down. Same thing, and what does James Comey say when they ask him? He gets a screwed up look on his face, and he says, well, why would they be talking to me? Why would Brennan... why would Durham or his assistants be talking to Comey? Because you are the criminal who led the coup, along with, you led your own separate 28 aspects of the coup because you just couldn't be held back. Your October surprises started in January of that year. And Brennan, you couldn't help it when you heard Victoria Nuland had some angle on Trump peeing on a whore or a whore peeing on Trump. You paid $100,000 to three different people to go to Europe and find the PP document, the PP video, and then you finally release it. And it's not Trump, and it's not in a rich hotel, and it's nobody's peeing on anybody. And you paid you paid our tax money through a government agency to try to chase down your enemy, because every day when you got down on your prayer rug and you did your five bows to Mecca with your Hillary sign there and I'm with her t-shirt on, and you led the CIA, the fifth column, against Trump. That's the reason he went to the CIA first and said, these columns got to go.
Don't you forget he was tight with Gina Haspel, who was over there in London as the CIA director in London, running this big coup.
Brennan brought Robert Hannigan, the head of the General Communications Headquarters, that the NSA of Britain, against General Admiral Rogers' knowledge, snuck him into NSA and said that the CIA was approving the NSA to spy on Trump by hardwiring a wiretap to Trump Towers. After the Franklin furor set up through Slate magazine with the communication between the Russians, that was all Comey. But the Brennan stuff was Crossfire Hurricane. That was using the Brits through Stephen Halper and Dear Love and the whole gang we've told you about, and all the setup of the Cambridge Intelligence Group, and all that they tried to get with Sam Clovis, Carter Page, and Papadopoulos, and anyone else they could get near to. Those very people who did that, some of them ended up on the Mueller special counsel investigation. Zainab Ahmad, Andrew Weissman.
Ahmad. And of course, the whole thing, why is this not working? It's because they have this person called Arvinder Sambhai trying to run this operation. And it's obviously this thing. I don't know if it's a he or a she. It's just an it. It is incapable of running global operations. It came over to assist Mueller in the cover-up of 9/11. She didn't cover up a damn thing. We all saw out here in America what happened. We saw that the committee that went to research this thing was filled with political hacks. We saw the money move around the world stage, and we saw the operation in the Middle East was just another banker's war to cover their shorts. Who do they think American people are? We're not stupid people. The only thing that American people haven't had is a channel in order to send their wisdom and truth through the ethers. And thank goodness, Michael McKibben stepped up and invented the scalability that we can use here in the internet to get our voices to be heard all over the world. This, we are the voices of America, and we're telling you in the world who are listening that the coup was run out of Britain. It was run by the Pilgrim Society. They hide at the very top of the pyramid of global control. It's not the Illuminati and all this kind of conspiratorial stuff you hear on the internet, because those are distractions to keep you from actually knowing who the controllers are. We've identified the controllers. We've given you their phone number and their address, and we've shown you how the whole operation works. So I'd like to see on this platform that Trump has, but I know he can't put it on there, you know, the platform for the next 4 years, top of the list needs to be to defund and destroy the senior executive services.
Absolutely. Until that is done, we do not have a federal government. We have a takeover from the British. We have a bunch of British loyalists who are all after their own self-aggrandizement and protect each other as the elite of Washington, D.C., who seem to never even be questioned for their overt crimes that we watch them commit right in front of our eyes. It's just shocking that Comey wants to act as if he is immune, with impunity. He wants to act as if he's insulted at the thought that someone would insinuate that Durham and Barr might look into his coup against Trump, which he basically has admitted. But he admitted that it was done underneath the auspices of the FBI's normal rules. But then the IG came out and said that it was the worst ever. The IG for the FISA court said that Comey should basically committed crimes. He never once ever used FISA properly. He opened up the NSA for everyone to unmask anybody from any of our the intelligence groups that are corporate led. You know, 850,000 people have top secret securities in America, and most of them are corporate people working for other countries, especially our enemies. It's like Fusion GPS is used in Venezuela to create propaganda against America. So most of the stuff we're seeing from Venezuela comes from Glenn Simpson and Fusion GPS.
And let me give you a warning, Americans. This is for Americans. If you are listening to YouTubers that are coming from England, the BBC associated with those have a Canadian accent, an English accent, you must be aware. They could very well be propagandists that are trying to get a message over here to America to be spread that can't be done on American soil because of the National Defense Authorization Act. So anytime I hear someone speaking, and there are many, there's this one Charlie Ward that people keep sending me videos of, and I'm just saying, don't send them anymore. The guy is, don't send me Charlie Ward videos anymore. And there are a lot of others. We expect our audience to be a lot more discerning than that.
Remember, Mueller took over the FBI after 9/11 because he was home recovering from appendicitis for 2 weeks. And he didn't take the job, so he wasn't there when the towers were attacked. So there was actually no head of the FBI at that time. And then afterwards, he declared it immediately to be a terrorist attack. They actually whispered in Baby Bush's ear that Iraq has attacked America through Saddam Hussein and through Osama bin Laden. It's like, what are you talking about? That's completely crazy. James Baker signed most of the passports which were given through Saudi Arabia through a special immigration office that had been opened up just to allow these people that they accused of attacking 9/11 to make it look as if they were the culprits. They weren't the culprits at all. They were the ones that it was supposed to be blamed on. So if you don't know that, and if you don't know about the Brady Durham bonds, and if you don't know about the missing gold, and if you, then you don't know the real cause of 9/11. And we're not going to go into that because we've written so much about it. But right now, when you talk about Brennan, when Mueller came to power, he said, we're going to ignore all of the crimes that got buried in the FBI's office in the Trade Towers. We're not going to investigate the missing gold. We're not going to investigate anything. We're going to pick up a passport of one of the people who was flying the plane into the tower, which floated down to the ground, and an FBI agent looked down and picked it up and said, oh, look here. An untouched, unscathed passport of the man that we're blaming for attacking the World Trade Center. Okay, that's how stupid. Oh, how stupid is this? That FEMA was not using their new office in Tower 7 on that day, but they were doing, they were filming outside the office, and the camera was bumped, and it happened to be pointing at the exact spot of the Trade Towers where the plane went in, and that's the only film we have of it, is the FEMA film that Rudy Giuliani was, in fact, in charge of that day. And there was a huge FEMA exercise being conducted out of the Port Authority, not out of their massive million-dollar new headquarters in Tower 7, which I say was never there. They simply took the money because they knew it was going down. And that's the reason I say, Judy, if you listen carefully, when they cleared Tower 7, they made certain that the fire chief made certain that the building was clear of people. And when he was told by his people that the fires were individually set on the different floors near the windows and they didn't understand why no one was putting them out, he ordered everyone out of the building when his people on site were saying, no, there's really not a problem here. And then they all left the building, and then you get to hear a voice out of nowhere after being told, after the fire chief says, is everything clear? Is everything clear? And then they give like five or six clears. Then you hear a voice say, pull it. It's Rudy Giuliani's voice. And the building went down.
I know people are going to ask where you heard this.
It was all over when you studied 9/11, all these, the 911 calls, everything there. But now it's all been covered up.
That they actually have, they don't think that Americans were paying attention. And we were. Ever since 2001, a group of us have been out here and we have studied this deeply. And we waited for our time. And our time came when we saw that Donald Trump came down that escalator. When he came down that escalator, we knew we had our man. And then we could send out our message. And we still have some work to do in this great information war. And that the next big thing is we got to get that all red, that big red tsunami in November. It's not only for our country, it's for the entire world. So everyone out there listening to me, you must take it on to yourself in a personal and committed and a spiritual way that we will not let our republic die. We will go and we will give it some more life support. So then the next 4 years, we can completely unravel and undo the British imperial control over the world.